eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to the Junkyard Dogcast, everybody. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. With me, Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell of Dogs 24/7. And right now, it's Bulldogs versus Bulldogs, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, SEC Network inside Sanford Stadium. Georgia's back in Sanford Stadium for the first time in over a month, and Mississippi State's getting close to that threshold from reports. The Bulldogs from the SEC West are kind of getting close to that 53-man threshold, and it doesn't seem like COVID has a ton to do with it outside of the opt-outs. There's some injuries going on, and, you know, the next couple of days are going to tell the whole story. This game is not, you know, just like sitting in a safe place in terms of being played, but it's on for now, and we're not really going to get into a lot of that because – honestly, we don't know a lot about that, and it's just not really productive to talk about it. We're going to talk about the game itself. We're going to spend a little bit of time on Anthony Edwards getting taken number one overall in the 2020 NBA draft by the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then we're going to make our predictions on Georgia and Mississippi State. And I guess I want to start with this because, you know, as I was talking there, you know, you kind of have two things going through your mind, Rusty, and something that came up before the show is, you know, there's reports out there that JT Daniels is going to be Georgia's starting quarterback on Saturday.
Let me finish that for you.
I don't know where everybody's been the past couple weeks.
Jake, you've been all over that. Been all over that for 2 weeks. So, you know, listen, I understand what was said last night. I understand why it made headlines. But people that are listening to our podcast that are not members and you want to skip that Chick-fil-A once a month to be a member, that's $6, $7, $8, $9, whatever it is now. Jake Rowe for 2 weeks has been all over this, and he's been over this every single practice report. I don't have to text Jake. I don't have to ask Jake. When something's going on, we can go to the site nightly. In fact, the people get pissed now, Jake, if you don't get there by 6:30. But every single night, Jake Rowe has written that JT Daniels is getting majority and if or not all of the first team reps for 2 weeks now. So Jake, kudos, you're all over that. But the people that listen to our podcast, and thank you so much. I did talk to the office of the day. We're getting crazy plays right now, which we are very appreciative of. But if you are listening to this podcast and you're not a subscriber to Dogs 24/7, just go get 1 month. Go spend 1 month, and I guarantee you will not cancel, because this news is not news to our guys, and that's what you pay for, to know what's going on daily. In this world where people are spending more time at home on their phones, watching news, kind of being with their families, and you get to lock in more each night, it seems like. Jake Rowe has been all over this one.
I appreciate it, Rusty, the shout-out. I'm just glad our people have kind of known about it, and it was just kind of barely mentioned last night. But, yeah, I mean, so, you know, JT Daniels has been getting first-team work dating back to last Monday. We've had that after every practice. He's going to get the start from all indications, you know, barring some kind of setback or something just kind of weird happening. He's just gotten a ton of first-team reps. And we want to get to that in just a little bit. But before we do, let's just kind of do what we do every preview show and just kind of discuss, you know, just some basic thoughts on this game and where these two teams are and kind of what it means for Georgia in this one. Georgia's the team that that's 4-2 and is not mathematically out of the SEC, although severely behind the eight ball. And Rusty, I'm going to go to you first, man. What are kind of your thoughts on this game and what it means for Georgia to get back on the field, you know, 2 weeks after a loss to Florida? Because both of Georgia's losses this year have featured a two-week period for folks to kind of marinate on.
Yeah. Yep, that's the truth for all of us to marinate with this, boards and everything else. But there's nothing more of a cure for a loss than playing a game. And, Jake, it seems like, Kip, it seems like Georgia hadn't been home since, like, Labor Day weekend. You know, this game to me, no offense to Mississippi State, this game is about Georgia. This game, to me, is, you know, what Georgia is under Kirby Smart when they're kind of – the odds are stacked against them to make the SEC East in a different year. I thought the tweet the other day by Richard LeCount was great. Basically said, look, I'm here to finish out this career. I'm trying to get back. This kid's lucky to be alive. Let's just be honest. I know a little bit more of the details. And, I mean, he was very, very fortunate. And just a couple of weeks after that, this young man is saying he's going to finish off the season the way he came to Georgia, and that's in pads and on the field, and where some other guys and some other places aren't. So this game's about Georgia, and it's not just about JT Daniels. I'm not stupid. I know what the eyes of the Bulldog Nation and college football. College football wants to know what Georgia's doing at the quarterback position. I just think that this game, let's see where they are defensively. Let's see if this team's checked in, because, Jake, I know you'll dig into this more, but this is the type of team that takes patience. And this is not – you got to sit back on a team like this. You know, that first game against LSU, they ran all those rub routes. And, you know, I think everybody has been a little bit more patient. I think Barry Odom's the one that came back and set in zone against them. And you got to pick your poison, pick your time for them to come after them. And, you know, they're down a little bit too, but to me, let's see where they are. How hard are these kids playing? Let's see a guy like Adam Anderson, Jermaine Johnson. Let's see those guys get after the quarterback. Let's see some of these younger kids play. Let's see Georgia. Nobody wants to see. I'll be the guy. I'll be the big elephant in the room. I'll say it. Nobody wants to see Georgia beat Mississippi State 27-6 and rush for 330 yards. Okay? There's bigger things going on with Georgia right now. They want to see a balanced offense. They want to see throw the ball down the field, open this thing up. Because this is a team, quite frankly, and Jake and Kip, I'm sure you agree, this is a team right now Georgia should dominate. And Georgia should have a very good opportunity to showcase to some of their recruits that this is what we're trying to do offensively. This is what we're doing moving forward. So, you know, no offense to Mississippi State right now. They just don't have the horses to play with Georgia, in my opinion, for four quarters. It's going to be cool to see, you know, Leach and Athens and what he brings. But right now, they don't have the bullets for this type of a gun battle between, you know, Georgia and Mississippi State, in my opinion. And you really want to see where they are offensively and how the kids respond on the defensive side after kind of a lackluster performance against Florida and Alabama, second half for sure.
Definitely interesting comments on the defense there, Rusty, because a lot of guys, you know, going to have a chance to go play pro ball next year. And, you know, you kind of want them to have that Richard LeCount mentality of him coming out on Twitter and saying, hey, I'll finish my career on the field as a Bulldog. You kind of want them to kind of have that feel about it. And I definitely think that's going to be something to watch in this game, considering, you know, Mississippi State has an offensive-minded head coach, a guy that likes to sling it around. And Kirby has kind of been quite open this week with the challenges. He even compared it a little bit to the triple option in terms of how much you have to change yourself and do new things to stop it. Kip, what are your thoughts kind of heading into this game?
Just kind of looking at Mississippi State, it's really surprising just to see how, you know, everyone talked about Mike Leach coming in and jump-starting Mississippi State's offense. But, I mean, I know this year has affected every program and it's created a lot of challenges, but it's just really surprising, shocking, really, just to see how bad that offense has been. I mean, it's the worst offense they've had in over a decade, statistically. And you just kind of look at it on the flip side, you know, their defense, they lost like seven starters. They were 73rd, 75th in the country in defense last year. And that's, they're doing all the heavy lifting for Mississippi State so far this year. So, and they're running a defense that they haven't run in almost two decades. I think they're running a 3-3-5 scheme there. I'm really impressed with defensive coordinator Zach Arnett. He came in from San Diego State. I believe he'd been there for several years. And just the job that he's been able to do there, it's just really impressive. And you have an offense that just has been sputtering all year. And their run defense is legit. It's a top three run defense in the conference. Their defense overall has been playing well. And then, they had guys opt out before the season. They lost even more guys. And, you know, they've been able to continue to play pretty strong football for the most part. So, you know, I've just been impressed with that unit overall. And, you know, it's tough because this week they had, you know, they lost two more guys opting out. They lost Nathan Pickering and I believe Marcus Murphy, their starting safety. So it's that's got to be a real concern for him and them in general. But even though, you know, that being said, you just got to kind of tip your hat to him. He's done one of the better jobs in the league, in the country this year, just, you know, rolling with it and having his guys ready to play. So I just think that's something that kind of stood out to me overall is that, that's just not what people were talking about with Mississippi State coming into the year. But, you know, coming into this weekend, that's definitely the strength of that team is their ability to stop the run and just their overall level of play they've had on defense so far this year.
Kip, you hit on something that I think is very important for this game, and it's the fact that the Mississippi State's sneaky good on defense. I mean, they are – I mean, I know that they haven't – the best teams they've played have kind of had some success against them, but, you know, they held Texas A&M to 28 points. Texas A&M's got a pretty good football team. You know, I know Alabama took the foot off the gas after 41-0, but overall, this defense has done a pretty good job. I mean, it's right there in the top five, top three in run defense, pass defense, volume-based metrics yards per game and both yards and then things that aren't really impacted by volume like yards per carry. I mean, it's a sneaky good defense. And this is why I don't really think this is a hot take or anything like that, but I'm going to go kind of strong on it. And this is a really big game for Georgia. And it's not a really big game for Georgia to win, because if Georgia loses a game, it's also really big. But it's a big game for Georgia to come out and kind of basically say, we're tired of this. You know, we're tired of, you know, for Kirby to kind of – and listen, I know he just wants to win games and all that stuff. And you know, right or wrong, you know, that can serve you well in some moments, and it can kind of, you know, make folks frustrated in others. But this is Kirby's opportunity to say, all right, listen, you know, JT Daniels is going to get the start at quarterback. And we're going to cut him loose. And it's a tough time to do that because you are playing a pretty good defense. And you do have a guy that's been on the shelf for 15 months. But at the same time, you've got to kind of go out there and show, like Rusty said, recruits and maybe even national media that you've got a little juice there, that you've got some stuff you haven't tapped into. And Kirby has said that. But listen, I tell my wife I love her all the time. But when I do some things for her, she comes home and the entire kitchen and everything's clean and all that other stuff, she gets it. She gets it a little more. And Kirby has said over and over again, hey, guys, we know we can play offense. We know we can be better on offense. We see it all the time. It hasn't translated to the field. And that's a big reason why I think JT Daniels is getting his opportunities, because I think they've kind of figured out that, yeah, Stetson Bennett may look good in practice, when they're preparing for the other team, and DeJuan Mathis looked great in practice in the preseason, but those two have been unable to translate it to the field. And I think one of the reasons, one of probably many reasons JT Daniels is getting a shot is because they're thinking, well, we got to have somebody that can take it out there on Saturday. And it's important that Georgia takes it out there on Saturday. And I think the passing game needs to be efficient. I think the passing game needs to show some signs of life and something to build on. I think that Georgia needs to do the things it's supposed to do, like wear Mississippi State down and maybe get some. This isn't a game to me where, yeah, you want to get this guy and that guy reps at quarterback there at the end of the game because JT Daniels needs all he can get. But you want it to be that situation where you can call what you want to call and do what you want to do late third quarter, early fourth, and kind of make this the type of game that it should be. Make it a game that looks like Georgia's pissed off and they're really upset that they're not in control of their own destiny for the first time since 2016. And that's an opportunity Georgia has. And you know, it's not going to have a ton of eyeballs on it. May have more because of some cancellations provided it's played. But that, to me, is what I'm really looking to extract from this game, is how much does Georgia want it? How committed to Georgia to creating some momentum heading into the end of the season and maybe into 2021 is Georgia? And is it time that they just kind of blow the lid off a little bit on offense, or at least start to make it flutter some? Because that's what needs to happen for Georgia to win a title. I've said it multiple times on this podcast. I don't think elite offense is the only way to win a national title, but it is absolutely the best way. And you've got to play offense better than Georgia has to have a chance at it the past two seasons. And that's just where Georgia needs to go. And it needs to show some signs of maybe heading in that direction. Guys, before we take a break, let's talk about this Anthony Edwards thing for a little bit. Take a quick little break from football. Number one overall pick, Rusty. I mean, Georgia's not a basketball school. And as we know, when we look at metrics from what we write and everything like that, him being taken number one overall didn't make all that big of an impact on you know, the business side for us. But how big is this for Georgia and the Georgia basketball program? You think Tom Crean can kind of build off of it? Because he's had quite a bit of success with getting guys drafted near the top of the draft, especially at the guard position.
I mean, it's the ultimate, you know, answer to me. You know, he can walk into any living room and say, if you come to the University of Georgia, you can go number one. You know, our goal is to play in the NCAA tournament. Our goal is to win the SEC championship. Our goal is to play in primetime games, and they got some primetime games. The season probably didn't go as what they planned, but at the end of the day, they won one game in the SEC tournament. The rest of it was canceled. No NCAA tournament, no pre-draft camps, and a player from the University of Georgia went number one overall in the NBA draft. Those are facts now. So if Tom Crean, I'm telling you, he knows what he's doing with this. This right here is an invaluable recruiting tool, because had Anthony Edwards gone fifth, every school in the country would have said, hey, man, you can't go number one from Georgia. Look what it cost him missing four spots by not coming to Kentucky, by not coming to Kansas, not coming to Duke. The guy went number one. He got $20 million guaranteed just last night out of a $44 million deal. That's before endorsements and anything. So that was invaluable for Tom Crean in recruiting. So you can walk into any living room, may not get them, but you can walk into any living room and say, hey, you can do it at the University of Georgia.
You know, Rusty, it's rare that you have a podcast and you go into it thinking one way. You kind of changed my mind there a little bit. I was going to kind of be at like TBD, to be determined on this, but that was a really, really good point. Hey, you can come to Georgia. Anthony Edwards would have been one or two coming out of high school if he could have been. But you go to Georgia and you still go number one. You know, that's something to hang your hat on a little bit. And listen, I know Georgia didn't have a lot of success, and I would have been interested to see how much fight they showed in the SEC tournament after winning that first game, because I do think Georgia – there was a dangerous side to Georgia this year. There just was. I mean, Georgia routed Tennessee at home. They beat Auburn, I believe, at home as well in Athens. Those are two pretty good basketball teams. So there was a dangerous side to Georgia. Run the table and win the SEC, I don't know. But I would have liked to have seen how much fight they had down the stretch, and Edwards was going to be a big part of that. And then Rashawn Hammonds, as we learned today, signed with the Indiana Pacers, didn't get drafted, but did get there. So I do think that that now that you say it and you put it like that, I do think that there's something to capitalize on there. And it's still going to be TBD to see if Tom Crean can do that and then put the product on the floor that guys like Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes have put on the floor, because those aren't – I mean, Tennessee's more of a basketball school than Auburn is, but Bruce Pearl has evened that matchup a little bit between basketball and football, and Tom Crean's trying to do the same at Georgia. Kip, you probably follow the NBA harder than any of us.
He's stretching right now. How much time we got? Kip coming out of a yoga move right now, getting ready to talk about the Hawks.
He's setting his jaw. He's got one of those things you gnaw on all day right now, just getting ready to go. But you follow the NBA more than all of us. What can this do for Georgia?
He would have been a perfect fit in the Hawks next to Trae Young. I think, you know, just talking about his ability, it is a great fit with Minnesota. I know not everyone's really trying to get up to Minnesota to play right now. I know James Wiseman basically said he didn't even talk to Minnesota, kind of shared his opinion on where he wanted to go at that point. But, I mean, he's got long-range touch. He can score off the dribble. I mean, he has that ability to drive to the basket and just bully ball people. So I think playing next to point guard D'Angelo Russell and having Karl Anthony Towns there as well, it's a good group for them. But it's a big moment for Georgia. And you know that Tom Crean is well aware of, you know, the impact of this, because you just look at his Twitter feed, he's taking advantage of it. You saw the retweet he had from ESPN Stats. You know, Tom Crean now is one of two coaches with John Calipari to have a top five NBA pick at three different schools, and to be one of two, and to be Tom Crean and John Calipari. I mean, that's pretty legendary, you know, a group right there, just to be those two guys, for him to be able to say, hey, not only did I do this with Anthony Edwards, but, you know, I've also done this with Dwayne Wade at Marquette. I've had Victor Oladipo and Cody Zeller at Indiana. I think it's huge for Georgia's recruiting efforts. And it's just also, I mean, we joke about this year all the time, but the fact that Georgia had the number one pick, and it was also the first time in the last decade that Duke did not produce a first round pick. I mean, that's just another feather in Tom Crean's cap that you could say, look, I mean, I had the number one overall pick. Duke didn't even have a first round pick this year. So, it you know, you can come here and anything is possible. Now that accountability comes back to him to not only, you know, not do it again, but to produce production, you know, wins and losses from Georgia. He has to take that feather in his cap and be able to – you can't go into kids, you know, you can't go and recruit – in person with anyone right now, but I mean, you gotta use that as best you can to bring in some more talent and to have that, you know, turn into a better record over the next 2-3 years. And so now, I guess, if anything, the pressure's kind of on Tom Crean now. You've seen what he can do. You've seen that he can produce the number one overall draft pick. You know, it's time for Georgia to be competitive in the conference on a consistent basis. I mean, that's where the bar has been set for this program. You mentioned Georgia not being a basketball school. It's not, but the resources are there. The talent is in Georgia. You beat out all the blue bloods for a guy that everyone knew, you know, had the ability to be great. He was the number one overall pick. Time to translate that into the actual program success and put Georgia in a situation where, I mean, they can compete in the division and in the conference title, get to multiple NCAA tournaments. I mean, that's really what Georgia wants it from its basketball program. I mean, we're not talking about getting to the Final Four, you know, every 4 years, while that would be a bonus. We're talking about getting to the tournament and not having a first-round exit, you know, getting to the tournament back-to-back years. That's really what you want from this program. And there really hasn't been a reason why you can't do that, other than the fact that the conference has been really top-heavy. You've had the same two or three programs kind of dominating for the last 10, 15 years. And now we know that Georgia can bring in elite talent. It's got to do it consistently. And that's where Tom Crean needs to kind of move the needle a little bit, is to bring that consistency to Georgia and allow them to get in the tournament, you know, every year or every other year. And, you know, I think all the recipe, you know, all the pieces are there. He just got to put it all together over the next 2 to 3 years.
Well said. Let's jump into a break real quick. And on the other side, we're going to get into Georgia and Mississippi State with predictions, players of the game, all that jazz.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, guys, let's get into our predictions here and kind of talk about what we expect to see in this game. But first, key matchup, Rusty, what are you looking at? What do you want to see as far as a matchup, coaches, players versus coaches, cheerleaders versus cheerleaders? What you got?
How Georgia defends this passing game. You know, this is not their MO now to sit back and let somebody, you know, bend and break. You know, is Georgia going to, you know, man these guys up and try to run and trail and pattern match and those types of things with them? You know, kind of the footprint. Again, Barry Odom did something totally different than what LSU did, and everybody's kind of been that way so far. Is Georgia going to sit back and play a lot more zone, which is that's not Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning's style? So I know all the eyes, and you know you guys are probably touching on the quarterback situation, but for me, defensively, how's Georgia going to do this? You know, how they're going to match up linebacker wise? Be some guys in space. Obviously, Mike Leach is a passing game guy, so he's going to know what Florida did to them. It's a copycat league, NFL, SEC. You'll see it. So he's going to put Georgia's linebackers in some space. How do they adjust to that? But really interested in how Georgia, you know, defends this team. First time Kirby Smart, I think, first time Kirby Smart versus Mike Leach.
Kip, what you looking at, man?
You know, I think that overall, I want to see what the receivers can do. And I think that you look at Mississippi State, that's kind of the aspect of their defense you can take advantage of. You know, they have allowed some big plays to opposing passing attacks. And, I mean, the one aspect of this passing attack that you really haven't been able to see is yardage after the catch. I mean, as you know, as far as guys being able to, you know, catch the ball. The drops haven't really been there. They've been about, you know, it's been about the same as last year. You know, not necessarily anything that's hurting him too much. I think the biggest issue is just that they're not getting any yards after the catch, and they're not breaking tackles after the catch. And that's just an aspect, you know, that is kind of lacking this group overall. And it just goes back to them not having someone to really stretch the defense, in my opinion, since Miko Harbin left. And Rusty's talked about it. A guy that, you know, they really are looking forward to getting on the field is Arian Smith. And he's continuing to, you know, work his way back. He's been able to get reps in practice, as Jake's reported. And I mean, if this is going to be, you know, we've talked about the quarterback situation a lot, but if we get to see Arian Smith's debut, you know, this weekend, that's something I'd like to see. I mean, maybe it's not where he could be, you know, as far as just having all of his explosiveness back or being ready as far as the playbook's concerned. But seeing him get reps on the field could bring a different dynamic to this offense and really kind of open things up. I mean, Kyaris Jackson, he's kind of been the offensive MVP or just maybe the team MVP overall, just from what he's been able to do and helping out in multiple facets of the game. But a guy like Arian Smith can really kind of open things up for the rest of the receivers. And that's what I'm looking to see. I mean, I want to see this group start kind of playing up to their potential, getting more experience and breaking some plays after the catch, because it's really allowed defenses to kind of, you know, keep everything in front of them so far this year, not really having to respect Georgia's passing attack, you know, having explosive plays down the field and having explosive plays after the catch. And a guy like Arian Smith can do that. I mean, it's just, you start breaking tackles and you start, you know, stretching the defense downfield, it changes everything as far as what the defenders do, as far as their eyes and how fast they're able to play on defense. And I think that really would help Georgia just break things open and obviously help the running game as well.
Got two things I'm looking at. Both of them are from offense. Both of them are from the quarterback position. And going back to that guy you spoke about a while ago, Kip, Zach Arnett, I think he's a very innovative defensive coordinator. I think he's one of the better defensive coordinators you probably haven't heard of in college football. And, you know, I flipped on Mississippi State. I watched a few games, and one of the things that kind of jumped out to me was the zone blitz. And that it was something that he has different variations of, and he runs it at different things. And at 3-3-5, you know, Georgia actually – technically, his base defense is a 3-3-5 as well. It just looks a lot different because it looks like a four-man front because of an outside linebacker on the line of scrimmage with his hand on the ground. But you know, to get back to the point, that defense, whether he stacks it, whether he offsets it, and you know, it moves some guys around. Sometimes he'll leave the middle of the field basically void at the linebacker position, drop somebody in there. He does a lot of overload stuff where he'll get 3-on-2 off the quarterback's, you know, front side and then drop a guy to the other side thinking that he can bait the quarterback into throwing the ball away from the blitz. And JT Daniels, having not played live action, having not taken a hit in 15 months, is going to have to deal with that because he's going to have some times where he's going to get a free runner at him and he's got to get it out quick. He's going to be better served to throw over the blitz as opposed to away from it because they're trying to rob that underneath stuff. And I think Georgia's going to have to take care of the football. JT Daniels is going to have to take care of the football in those situations. It's not something that he hasn't seen before because everybody kind of has a little bit of a package in there that they try to confuse a quarterback with as far as that goes. And, you know, Todd Monken has shown us, and this is on the point too from the quarterback position, he's shown us he can dial up chances for Georgia to hit things downfield. You know, if you're a Georgia fan and you haven't gone back and looked at that Florida game and missed opportunities keep you from sleeping at night, don't do it. Don't do it. All right. Watch something else. You know, I'm watching The Wire right now for like the 6th, 7th time. So go do that. Go check it out. If you've seen it once or none, I don't care. Watch that instead. Go watch, you know, Teletubbies or whatever your kids watch, or just go for a walk. Don't watch the game again. It's going to bother you about missed opportunities because Georgia ran the same play that Kyaris Jackson caught for 49 yards against Auburn, against Florida. Instead, Stetson Bennett overthrew him. And, you know, they had a drop pass in there, but, you know, the fake toss, third to tight end, didn't convert on that. Had Demetrius Robertson open a couple times downfield, wasn't able to hit him. Can Georgia hit that shot? That's what I want to see. You know, if they run something similar and Kyaris Jackson's able to get behind the defense, can JT Daniels put it on him so he can run it in and have that big game? Because that's something that I think would it goes along the same lines of what Kip's saying, but to me, that's something that would do a ton for Georgia's offensive confidence, is to be able to hit that throw, go back to the sideline, pat each other on the helmet, share some smiles, share some laughs over it, have the offensive lineman tell you about how he barely got the block that he needed to make it time, and everybody kind of share their war stories for a second, then go out there and play some more offense. Because I think those things are really important when you're trying to get up off the mat a little bit offensively. And Georgia's passing game is absolutely trying to get off the mat right now. Because if my math is correct, I think it's 18 of 43 over the past two games with I'm trying to do the math in my head, 5 interceptions and 2 touchdowns. That's not going to cut it, okay? That's just not going to get you anywhere. Not going to get you to the SEC championship game. Georgia's probably not going to the SEC championship game. It's not going to get you to a national championship game, a playoff. It's not going to get you anywhere. That's got to improve, and I think one of the things that would help is hitting one of those guys behind the defense and having a walk-in touchdown and you know, having something to feel good about, and I think that can have a ripple effect on the offense for the rest of the season. Rusty, what's your prediction and player of the game?
Oh man, I can't say 20-6, can I?
If you do, if you do and it comes true, there's not gonna be anything good that comes out of being right.
I'll go Georgia 38, Mississippi State 13. And I think this is gonna be a game where you will see Georgia turn it loose a little bit, but you know, let's not try to change the entire team. We do want to see – I know what this board wants to see when I say win, but when I say we. So I think that you'll see JT Daniels throw it some. You're also going to see the guys run the ball and try to establish a line of scrimmage, and that's how you win games. And I'm going to go player of the game. I think it's about time for this young man. He's going to get some touches this week, and I think that he'll come back to where he was kind of early in the season. I think Kyaris Jackson's going to be that guy. I think he catches a couple of touchdown passes, and I'll go 38-13, Georgia. Very cold night. Jake, you better be bundled up there, my man, and I'll go Kyaris Jackson as my player of the game.
Kip, before you start, one of us needs to take on the task, or if you're a listener and you want to help us out, I want somebody to go back and look at players of the game and see who's done the best this season, because I feel like, and I may be wrong on this, I feel like Kip is like 80% on this. I feel like just about every time out, if his guy's not the player of the game, he still balls. And so that I want to, if somebody wants to go back and do that for us, I'd appreciate it. If not, it's probably not going to get done because I'll forget about it in 15 minutes. But I say that to say this, whoever Kip says for player of the game, keep an eye on that guy.
Well, no pressure at all. No pressure. I'm going to put even more pressure on it, I guess, just by naming who I think the player of the game is. I'll come out and say that. I think this is a statement, a potential bounce back, not so much bounce back, but hey, he's still here moment for George Pickens. I think that, you know, if he comes out and he's healthy and he's able to get out there and play, the matchups bode pretty well for him. And I just look at that Vanderbilt game. The Vanderbilt Mississippi State game, and I mean that Vanderbilt's passing attack, it's not great that you can compare it to Georgia's this season, but this is where we're at right now. They're very comparable in their production, how they've been able to perform so far this year. And Cam Johnson, I mean, he had 114 yards on them, and then Keon Henry Brooks also had 97 yards receiving on Mississippi State. Vanderbilt threw for 336 yards on them. And so it's just, you know, that secondary is the part of Mississippi State's defense that, you know, you can make big plays on. And I think that it sets up well for George Pickens. And then overall, just looking at, you know, Vanderbilt's offense, like I said before, it's surprising, you know, how badly they performed. And it looks like, I think KJ Costello won't be it's not likely he's going to play against Georgia, so they'll be going against Will Rogers, the freshman there. And you just look at what they've been able to do. You know, they scored 14 against Arkansas. They only scored, what, 2 against Kentucky, and they didn't score against Alabama. And I think they put up 24 against Vanderbilt. So you look at Georgia's defense, you know, they have something to prove as well. I would argue that their defense, you know, on their best day is better than pretty much any of those teams. And so right now I look at this matchup and I think if Mississippi State's able to score offensively, it's probably because of a short field and a turnover. You know, that's, you know, you could probably, there's a good chance that's going to happen. At the same time, their defense is aggressive. I think that they're one of the better teams in the country as far as forcing turnovers. So, you know, they're good for a turnover or two in this game, you know, against Georgia. But I think Georgia just has, you know, too much talent defensively for them to get in the red zone more than a couple of times. And I think Georgia's going to have a lot of possessions in this game. A couple of those will be field goals. I got Georgia winning 34-10.
All right. I think the early part of this game, and I do this a lot, it's just because of the trend I've seen from Georgia against teams that should beat up on. I think that this game is going to be kind of frustrating for fans early on. While Mississippi State's defense is fresh, I think Georgia's going to have a hard time running the football. I think the passing game, JT Daniels knocking off the rust, is going to be a little bit herky-jerky kind of early on. But I do think Georgia eventually kind of runs away with it. I'm going to pick a final score of 34-6. My player of the game is a guy that had a couple of 100 total yard games and then kind of didn't do a ton against Florida. I'm going James Cook. And the reason I'm going James Cook is I think this game for JT Daniels, when it's all said and done, is going to look a little bit better than it is. Because I think he's going to dump it off to James Cook a couple times, whether it's a screen, angle route, something to the flat, that a busted coverage, whatever, that James Cook's going to turn into a big player too. And I think he's going to go over 100 yards again, a touchdown or two. You know, one of the things, and I'm going to put this in empty in the notebook. It's a feature I do, a VIP feature I do every Friday before the game. Is that, you know, one of the things I've heard this week about JT Daniels is one of the things that he's grown at since you know, starting to get more first team reps, is he had a real big tendency early on to check down to running backs, threw to the running backs a lot, would just kind of dump it off and get the ball out of his hands real quick. And I think he's going to do that a couple of times on Saturday, and it's going to pay off for him, because I think James Cook against a tired Mississippi State defense, third, fourth quarter, is going to bust off a couple big ones and kind of be the player of the game in this one. But I think Mississippi State's defense is well coached. I think it's got some talent, and I think it's going to give Georgia some problems early. I just don't think it's going to be able to maintain that for four quarters, and I think Georgia's going to get through it, sort it out, wear them down, and eventually run away with it. That's it for this episode of the Junkyard Dogcast. We'll be back with you on Sunday to talk about the game. Cross your fingers that it happens, and we look forward to it. For this one, I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell from the same place, and you guys take it easy.
CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.